In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Today's sermon text and gospel lesson is on the faith of a very ominous one of the great apocalyptic readings of the Bible. And we always have this at this time of the year, because remember, we're coming to the end of the liturgical year. Next Sunday is the last Sunday. Sunday is Christ the King. Then we start all over again. With Mary and Gabriel and the Christmas story. But at the end of the year, our lessons are always apocalyptic, coming to fruition of time. And today's lesson is daunting. Every year at this time, we read apocalyptic passages from one of the Gospels. They all have them. Today it comes from Luke, and Luke specifically, uniquely, uses the example of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And keep in mind that the ancient Jews, that would have been the end of the world. The temple represented for the faithful Jews the very soul of their faith. And just a little history review, remember there have been three temples. The first came from the heart and the vision, the soul of King David, 1,000 years before Christ. He didn't build it, his son would build it, Solomon. But David had a dream. And he thought it was wrong that a king would live in an ivory house, but there was no house for God. There was no house for the Ark of the Covenant, believed to be the very chamber presence of God. And so the temple was built by Solomon. Solomon's temple, as we call it, was one of the wonders of the world. It was grand and glorious. In 586, remember, the Babylonians had conquered Judah and Jerusalem, and they had destroyed the temple and the walls. And they had taken a lot of the population to exile for a period of what came to be about 70 years. And to this day, we refer to it as the Babylonian exile. And then empires rise? No, they do. Empires fall. And the Persians overtook the Babylonians, and they allowed the Jews to go back in waves slowly to their homeland, Jerusalem, to rebuild their spiritual lives and the walls and their temple. And that's where, when you listen to Handel's Messiah, you have these beautiful prophecies from Isaiah. I'm going to make the valleys low, the valleys high, the mountains low, the crooked ways straight. And this, what Isaiah is saying is, when you come back from Babylon, I'm going to be with you, says the Lord, so you can rebuild your temple and your walls and your city. And under the inspiration of prophets such as Ezra and Nehemiah, the temple was rebuilt around 515. But nothing as glorious and grand as Solomon's temple once was. So in 20 BC, it was Herod the Great who dismantled that second temple to make a grand temple that rivaled Solomon, to be one of the wonders of the world. They say it would have been what we would consider something like 13 stories high, which in the ancient world would have been incredible. Much of it gold leaf, so at a certain time the sun would reflect and you could see it glistening for miles. And so this was the temple where Jesus was dedicated as a baby. This was the temple he was found at the age of 12 and lost. This was the temple he visited and taught in. And this was the temple in the gospel today when it said the people were speaking to Jesus. Look, Jesus, this is magnificent. Look at the stone. And Jesus said something that would have been anathema, such absolutely shocking to the ears. There will come a day not one stone will be left upon another. And this temple will be destroyed. Little did they know that there was some in his hearing who would live to see that happen. For in 70 AD, the destruction of the temple by the Romans took place. And what were the signs? What would be the signs of the end of the world? And Jesus said it's very clear. False prophets, political chaos, natural disasters. We didn't make all that up in our generation. And when you think about it, at 70 AD, all that took place. There were Bucephalus erupted, destroying half the city of Pompeii. There were earthquakes in Greece, Asia Minor, and Palestine, and political chaos. And the occupation of Rome, there was Emperor Claudius and Nero who persecuted Christians. And false prophets, they're always there. False prophets without and within. There were false prophets who the Jews listened to, said, we can rebel against the Romans. Yes, you can go follow us. Wrong move. The Roman reaction was so severe, it is counted as an example of one of the worst examples of man's inhumanity to man in history. That people were starved so much so they stumped on the cannibalism. And their houses, their lives, their temple, their walls completely destroyed, except for a wailing wall. And that was all. So for some people, that was the end of their world. And when we think about it, in every generation, some generations have a little easier than others, but every generation, there are people who live with false prophets, with political chaos, with natural disasters, and it's the end of their world. When you have a look at concentration camps and war, starvation, and poverty, to know that this is true. So many throughout the centuries of the church have found these scriptures actually good company. They identify with them. They say, we are in these times. And then for them, they were. So how do you discern? Every generation has political chaos. Every generation has natural disasters and false prophets. So what is Jesus saying here? And the message of faith is that after this destruction of the third temple, a fourth temple is built, but not for brick and mortar, but on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and to use the scripture, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. A temple of faith that people will live and come to endure through the worst of circumstances and through the best. And this is where we are to find our identity, in the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, do we still live in the world? Yes, and as it should be. Do we still give ourselves to this world? Yes, and as it should be. There was a political candidate decades ago, I don't even need to say his name or political party, but he lost. In his concession speech, he said something I'll never forget. He said, young people, go into politics. Don't be cynical. It's not just for those who are corrupt. It's not just for those who have lost their way. It is the most noble thing you can do, young people. Go and try to make a difference in this world. Try to make a difference in the climate change. Try to make a difference in economics. Try to make a difference in justice. Do it. And whether it's successful or fail, it is a noble thing to do. So we live in this world, but for the Christian, we find our identity, who we are, in that fourth temple, the temple of faith in Jesus Christ. And that endures whether or not our world and our particular generation falls or rises. And that's what we're called to do. So how do you do that? How can you discern false prophets? I read an article on my FBI agent in counterfeit money. It was fascinating. And the agents who are supposed to, because it's a serious problem, counterfeit money. So how do you know? Well, they don't send agents to counterfeit money classes to study false money. No. They learn what real money is. They know everything about how it feels, what it's made of, the history. They come to know authentic money so much that when a false bill comes, it's easily recognizable. That's what Christians should do. We're called to know that fourth temple, know Jesus Christ, to know him thoroughly. Every Christian is called to be a theologian. It's no excuse not to know the stories of Jesus and the stories of the Bible. I tell the story often and often again that a woman found the Bible complicated. She bought a fifth grade storybook of Bible stories, and she learned the stories of Jesus and of the Old Testament. We are to know, I love this, we are to have a working knowledge of the stories of the Bible and Jesus. Come to know him in the sacraments, to stay close to the sacraments, because we believe as Christians, it's not just the teachings we follow, but we actually believe there is a living presence of his life from the resurrection. We are called to stay in community and with one another, like charcoal in the fire, keeping one another warm. We are called to serve Jesus. So that's knowing Jesus. I love the colic today. Read, mark, learn, inwardly digest our faith. As we come to know Jesus, not in a lazy way, but deliberate, reverent way, then when false prophets arise, within ourselves too, keep in mind, do we not give ourselves wrong information a lot of the time? We can instantly recognize that we're off the track, or our faith is off the track. So we come to know Jesus Christ in this temple. And we will always live with political chaos and natural disasters. We work for their healing. Our identity is in that temple built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And that is a gift of God, my brothers and sisters. And this end of the year, that is what we're called to do in faith. May we hold hands and do it together. Amen.